As I said, we're wrapping up the book of Ephesians. I'm not saying that I'm not ever going to preach out of Ephesians again, because there's some things in there that maybe I didn't flesh out as much as I would have liked to, and I may come back to that at a later time. But our verse that we've been reading, the few verses, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are concentrating today on that one God and Father of us all. We want to give him glory and give him praise. We're talking about the blessing God. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Father of our Lord, for he in love he predestined us will to his good. Him works out every might be to his good. Him works out every might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
O thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove, while the
the saving God. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, fools, and snares, I have already come.
Maybe no sweeter words have ever been written than Amazing Grace. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. In heaven, after a couple thousand years, it won't even be daybreak. We've only just begun. What a beautiful thought. The loving God, Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Beyond all measure, the calling God. After I read this passage of scriptures, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, "I am resolved no longer to linger." And if you feel as if God is calling you today, I want you to come forward. We'll have prayer with you. If you want to give your life to the Lord this morning, to be buried with him in baptism, to be raised, to walk with him in newness of life, I want you to do that as we sing the song, "I Am Resolved," because God is calling the prodigal to come without delay. He's calling you this morning. And each one of us is going to respond in some way. Whether we come forward or not, we will all respond to God. Maybe you need to do that right where you are, right where you're sitting and right where you're going to be standing in a few moments. But God is calling you. He's calling each and every one of us. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If we can help you this morning, respond while we stand. Let's sing.
I am resolved no longer to
linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things that allure my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free, hasten glad and free, Greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I know that there are some in the audience that are thinking, you're praying, you're mulling it over, the Lord is wooing you, he's calling you, and I'm praying for you. I really am. I'm praying for you. There are some of you that I'm praying for daily that you'll make that decision to follow the Lord. I want us to think about the God who is worthy of our imitation. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Some versions say, therefore, be imitators of God and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Oh God, you are my God, and I learn to walk in your ways and step by step.
the equipping God. From chapter 6. Finally, everybody in church always loves when you say finally, Steve. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after everything, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's stand and let's sing.
Soldiers of Christ, arise
and put your armor
on. Strong in the strength which God
in the strength which God supplies.
Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son.
Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His
mighty power.
I should have picked a few more songs to sing. Let's do it. But when you say finally, finally, be strong in the Lord, putting on the full armor of God. Paul talks about that all throughout the book of Ephesians. When he gets to the imperative, he says to stop doing this and to start doing that. Take off all of the things of the earth, all of the things of the world, and then to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against all the schemes of the devil. Our fight really isn't against people. It's not against flesh and blood. But it's against to stand shoulder to shoulder, to stand shoulder to shoulder, to work together, to love together, to encourage, to laugh together, and to cry and to mourn together. That's what family does. And that's what we at the Northside Church of Christ want to be all about. Some of you may say, I love this, Rodney. We want to do this every Sunday. We don't want to hear you preach. We just want to sing and praise God that way. But next Sunday, I'm going to come back to you. Are you guys listening to what I'm saying now? Okay. We caught that on tape, by the way.
We were debating
the
big amen there.
The world. Next Sunday, I'll bring in a lesson. I don't know where we're going to be next Sunday. Maybe I'll preach something out of Ephesians. I don't know. But we're done with our series on Ephesians, and God has got a lot more good things to say to us, so we'll find something in the Scriptures to talk about next week. I love you. Thank you for the encouragement that you've given me through this study. We've been talking about the oneness of God, and Paul makes it so clear in the book of Ephesians. We need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity comes not just because we all get along. The unity that we have is because of the Holy Spirit, because each one of us has been marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, that is a guarantee of our inheritance. And so we have unity in the Spirit. We just have to stay in the Spirit, and we've got to make every effort to keep that unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace.